streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, so we've been talking about Caleb Williams and others. I put up my mock draft earlier of my top 12 picks. I do think Minnesota has two firsts. They move up. The Chargers would like to move down. I think Denver moves down from 12 to about 15, 16. I think Seattle needs a quarterback. And I think since the Seahawks have the offensive coordinator that Michael Penix had last 2 years in college, one of the questions I've always had about the draft is you don't want to reach. But when it comes down to a quarterback, and a top quarterback in the league's worth like 9 to 11 points. I mean, if you look at Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, when he plays, when he doesn't, he's worth like 10.5 points. Aaron Rodgers in his prime, worth 11 points. What was Brady worth to Belichick? I mean, look at the franchise since Tom left. So I don't think I'm going to reach on a running back or a tight end. But there are certain positions like left tackle, quarterback, a great edge rusher. How do you reconcile that when you need it? They're very good and very impactful, but your scouting department has them, you know, a little lower. Mark Domenech has dealt with that before as a former GM joining us live. So let's say I'm Seattle and Geno Smith, you know, in a division with Matt Stafford and Kyler Murray and Brock Purdy. And you're like, listen, we think we may have the fourth best quarterback, maybe third or fourth. And we like Penix. Our scouting department has him at 19. But he's not going to be available at 19. You tell me, were you willing to reach on an occasional position, not a round reach, but maybe 8-9 slots?
Yeah, I did multiple times. But I think the quarterback one, to your point, Colin, is absolutely the one where you have to get yourself comfortable of saying, that's why quarterbacks rise up the board every year at this time of the year. Because if you don't have one, you realize you're in a really tough spot, not only just to try to win your division, but even get a conference ticket. And so, you know, even when I was in Tampa Bay, the quarterbacks around me were Cam Newton, Drew Brees, and Matt Ryan. That's a really miserable place to be. So you got to find yourself a young quarterback. And so I think that's what you're seeing. That's why these quarterbacks are rising up the board. I agree with you. I think Seattle's quietly trying not to let everybody know that they're on the radar, that they're going to get a quarterback. But I think Seattle absolutely is a team I have my eye on that's going to go make a move.
So I have argued this with a guy like Penix. I know he had injuries at Indiana. I know that, Mark. But sometimes I lease a car, I don't buy it. Sometimes I rent. I can't be bad at quarterback or we all get fired in a year. And if Penix didn't get hurt at Washington, he's a big kid who throws a ball. He's a pocket guy, really. Does everybody have to be Brady? Could you talk yourself into saying, guys, we're not great at quarterback. We don't have anybody in this room. We lost Drew Locke. There's Geno. we think for 4 years he can stabilize and elevate the position. How much do injuries come into it?
Well, it does. Think back this way, right? Joe Burrow came into college or through high school into college and then into the NFL with injury history, right? And it's kind of plagued him a little bit in the National Football League. The difference is Michael Penix, I think, has a worse physical, like a worse entering injury history than he does coming out of college than I think even Joe Burrow had. And I think that's making teams a little skeptical to say, can I get this guy? Now, I do say this. As we just recently saw the coach's photo at the owner's meeting, right? And every year there's eight new coaches sitting out there. If you can know that you have a starting quarterback for 4 or 5, 6 years, that's a longevity time in the National Football League. And so I can understand it. The big thing on Michael Penix, as I've lived through that too with John Gruden and Chris Sims, is do you want a left-handed quarterback in your system? And how hard does that make everything change, even if you like the talent of the player? So those are two things I think that are working against Michael Penix a little bit that may actually have him drop down the board a little bit more than people think.
Marvin Harrison's dad was very reluctant to talk, a very unique personality. Would you consider that as his son doesn't do the combine, pro days? It's a little contrary into the marketplace. Would you consider that?
So I don't worry about that whatsoever. You know, I saw the recent article about Deion Sanders talking about his son and his team, like trying to pick where they're going to go. I really do kind of think that maybe what Marvin Harrison Sr. is doing with his son is, how do I get you ready for the first season in the National Football League, instead of like, how high can you jump vertically? What's your 20 shuttle? What's your 10 time? And so I can see that being the new trend, that this is the trend. When it's a guy like this, it really is a can't-miss prospect. The only way he misses is injuries somehow derail his career. But everything else about Harrison shows that he's going to be great. I think this is a trend you might see faster than you see the Deion Sanders saying, I want to pick my team.
That's interesting. Yeah, I mean, the reality is the combine's a little bit of a TV show, and so I've never been too harsh on guys who miss it. You know, when you had Raheem Morris in Tampa, so Raheem is one of the new young defensive coordinators. He's not old school, but he's aware of offense. He and McVay were very close. So I could see him. McVay was like Kirk Cousins. So did Shanahan. I think there's these new defensive coordinators, D'Amico Ryans, Raheem Morris. They're not Vic Fangio or maybe a Mike Zimmer. Like, they understand. They're not allergic to offense. They understand the sensibility. Give me your thoughts, because I think Kirk Cousins in Atlanta in that division has tremendous value. You put him in the AFC West with Mahomes and Herbert, Harbaugh, Reed, not as much. But is that something you'd consider and go, hey, in this division, Kirk Cousins is our Herbert. He is our Josh Allen.
Yeah, I see it that way too. I think that's why it made a lot of sense for Atlanta to go do this, let alone trying to figure out how good is Drake London, how good is really Kyle Pitts, and let's get a quarterback in here that's thrown for 4,000 yards consistently, throws for 30 touchdowns consistently, and it's just a matter of like them continue with Bijan Robinson, what he can do, as well as having maybe the eighth pick if they decide, hey, look, we'll take Neighbors, and now we're going to just score tons of points, even though we have Rondale Moore and other players around here. You could see this becoming an offensive juggernaut fast in an NFC South division that's wide open. I mean, Tampa won it at 9-8. Certainly the Saints are meddling around with Carr and having a chance too. But I think this puts Atlanta in the driver's seat. They could also just do a little bit more on defense. But this league is about scoring points, as you know, Colin. We just saw rules coming down from the rules committee. How can we let teams score more points? They continue to do it. And so Atlanta's buying into that trend by getting Kirk Cousins and giving themselves the pole position, I think, in the NFC South.
So I said earlier on Caleb Williams, there are things I look for in quarterbacks. For instance, you talk a lot to the media. Right after games, Eli Manning was a master of this, and on the Wednesday presser, lower the heat, diffuse the noise, compliment teammates, send a message. Brady used to do radio in New England on Monday. It wasn't for the money. He created the message for the week. Big Ben did this in Pittsburgh. I think it's very smart. Your fingernails, the color of your phone, who you date, what you wear, I don't care. Everybody, I think Caleb Williams is an artistic quarterback. He's a bit of a playmaker. He can be a little artistic guy. He's got a flair. He's a little, all this stuff about the color of his phone, his nail polish, I don't care. Are those things even considered by a front office?
No, I mean, I don't care about those kind of things at all. But what I do care is the character of the kid. And as you listen, there are things that make me a little bit nervous, not about drafting him as a talent, not about drafting him for the Chicago Bears. My concern is he's used words like, I want to be immortal. I want my gold jacket. I'm just afraid that Caleb Williams may walk in the National Football League and think it's easy, and it's not. And so as long as he doesn't have that, that's the one thing I'm trying to figure out right now with Caleb Williams. If I'm the Bears and I bring him to my facility, I spend the nine people there at the pro day. I just want to make sure Caleb Williams understands how hard it's actually going to be that successful in the NFL, because it is that hard to be that good. But I could care less what his fingernails are. I want him to go out on Sunday and help us win games and score points and be that leader that we need on the football field. He can be who he wants to be off.
When you went into a draft, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious the Chargers, we can put my mock draft up, guys, if you want. I think the Chargers want to go down. They have to get a center, a receiver, a tight end, a right tackle, a corner. They have five or six needs, right? Like, it's very obvious they have. So I do think Minnesota needs a quarterback. Chargers need picks. That makes sense. I think Denver, by the way, wants a quarterback, but could get Bo Nix at 13, 14, 15, 16. They need some players. When you went into a draft, let's say you're the Chargers and you want to move down. What if you get an offer and it is more picks? I mean, do you make up your mind going in, guys, we're going to move down if they can get close to what we want? I mean, what do you think the Chargers are thinking with what they want to move down? Because they got two fours. They would love to have two firsts. Have you ever been in a room where the owner's stubborn, you're more willing, or vice versa? How does it work?
So it can work that way. I think there's a couple things, Colin, that I looked at when I was GM. Number one, you look at your first round talent of your entire board, right? And where the drop-offs are. So you've got the four quarterbacks that you're not worried about that are going to go in the top 10. So you take those out of the equation and you sit there and say, okay, of the other players, how many do I have as an elite talent that I think? And if that's six or seven guys, then ideally you don't move past 11, but you would take less to get down to 11 because you still know you're going to come away with a person that's going to be what you think is an elite starter, somebody who's going to have an instant impact. Then you find the next level down and maybe that's six or seven more players. And now you're trying to get more towards what the draft value actually is, because I'm really willing to maybe have to drop back a little bit to understand that I get the value, what I really think is the pick is, to move from where I am further back in the draft to 14, 15, or 16. You know, I was fortunate one time, a long time ago, back in Tampa, where we had the sixth pick, moved back to 12, and then moved back up to 8 and selected Warrick Dunn. So we were able to pick up extra pick and actually move up from a fourth to a third and still get the guy we wanted at 6. You can look at it that way. There's a lot of games you have to play and simulate internally that I think are really important for, obviously, Joe Hortz and his opportunity to do what you're talking about with the Chargers right now.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet 5. That's it, $5, and get 200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prizm, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage.
This one is something I think about. Rome Odunze is really focused. They say really adult. No distractions. If I'm a Jets or the Giants, that's very attractive. The Jets are a noisy franchise now. I think about that stuff. Whereas LSU players, historically, it's a big program. They own the town. They come in with personality. I think Neighbors is great. But if you told me I get either in New York, I may go with the slightly less dynamic receiver whose rep is quiet, focus. And that's nothing against Neighbors. He's going to go top. He's a remarkable player. But did you think about stuff like that? Somebody told me years ago, if you're in a port city like Miami or New Orleans, character matters more. They're livelier at night. Did you think about that stuff?
Yeah. I mean, in Tampa, we had to think about those things as well in terms of, like, can this person handle the community that he's going to be around? And that's an important thought. Or, you know, I'm sure other clubs, other organizations. I started with Kansas City with the Chiefs, you know, middle of the country kind of thing. You know, that you had a different mindset. But also it's a fundamental across your brain in terms of what kind of team are you building. So you look at those things. But, you know, when you look at Neighbors, and I agree with you, I think he's an elite talent. The one thing that, you know, scouts are, when you watch the tape a little bit on him too, you're sitting there going, elite speed, I don't know if I feel that. You know, I feel good speed. And that's where Rome, I think, actually has a leg up on him a little bit. So as much as I think Neighbors can be that Anquan Boldin, catch 100 balls and be a great player, Rome does have, I think, the elite speed that you're really kind of looking for, as well as a very quiet and very methodical type of mentality.
Yeah.
And I love that. And I think that's going to make Rome a really good player at the next level. I don't feel like you're stretching or reaching. Corey Davis, a great kid coming out of college, but I don't feel like you're pulling a Corey Davis if you take Rome. You're taking a really good player who knows what his business is and gets it done every week.
Mark Dominic, questions about the draft. How is it viewed through the prism of a GM? Mark, as always, good seeing you again, my man. I appreciate it.
Good to see you, Colin.
Yeah, years ago, I had an executive tell me there are certain cities, New York, a port city, New Orleans, Miami, Los Angeles, you got more nightlife. It's a whole different ball game. You go to the middle of the country. So some cities, they're for 21-year-old, 22, 23-year-old guys, single out there, got a lot of money. Like, I get it. You got to think about everything. Odell Beckham in New York, a little bit, you know, he fed into big personality, sort of the city. So it's not the end of the world, but I think I've said this before. Everything is something. Nothing is everything. J-Mac with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
All right, let's go back to Jaden Daniels for a moment, because something has popped here in the last couple hours. There are reports that Jaden Daniels is highly coveted by the Las Vegas Raiders. Now, Antonio Pierce has a connection to him, dating back to Arizona State.
Yes.
Recruited him there. Devontae Adams looked to endorse the young fellow on Instagram.
Well, they need a quarterback.
And I don't know.
That's an interesting one because, again, they have a star receiver.
two good defensive linemen.
Yeah, no, left tackle Colton Miller. I actually think they need a bit of a playmaker. I don't think that's a terrible move for the Raiders.
Well, the problem is it's going to cost you a lot of draft capital to move up.
Okay,
to three.
But once you get the quarterback right, listen, San Francisco whiffed on Trey. We've seen quarterbacks whiff all the time. It's amazing when you get it right how it erases a lot of your soft spots.
Okay, you're going to have to give up multiple picks to get to three.
Okay, all right. You're not. It's not like you're
it's
drafting.
Not like the Raiders' roster's good. They're not adding Jaden Daniels and being a contender for a playoff spot this year or next year.
First of all, I think they have the 13th pick, right?
Yeah.
So if how much do you have to give up to go to three?
A lot.
You have to give up. You have to flip picks. You give them a second next year's first and maybe a third. Again, if Jaden Daniels can play in a dome in that environment.
Trading up if you're close. The Niners traded up for Trey Lance when they were close. It bombed spectacularly, but they found a quarterback, and the roster was close, so they were okay.
The Raiders aren't close. I think you can make an argument if you're New England. We're going to trade back to number 13. We can get Bo Nix there. The bottom line is New England, outside of Carolina, may have the worst offensive roster in the league. They need dudes, like, badly. And so you go down to 13. If I'm New England, I have Jacoby Brissett, you're going to win 6 games. I'm New England. I go down to 13 and get multiple picks. Then I go down to 15, get another. I can get it all ramped up. And then next year, instead of drafting a quarterback, New England, because Jared Mayo's first year, he's not under pressure, then I can go get a free agent quarterback. So, I think that's very attractive. The Raiders have to they've had a bad stretch. They got to win. There's no equity with the fans. You got to win games.
You can't just say you got to win games. They don't have the talent. They don't have the personnel.
What if Jaden Daniels comes in and is running around? By the way,
come on,
little spindly. I like him indoors more than I'd like him up in Foxborough.
Let me just ask this. Devontae Adams has been chirpy in Vegas, right? He went there. There was a lot of chatter. He wasn't happy being moved away from his guy.
Very productive.
Okay, as you and I know, they're not winning this year, next year. Do you just say, listen, man, we don't need this noise from Devontae. Let's just flip him, get some more draft picks, and just start over. Let's move up.
Not a lot of Devontae Adams on the market. Not a lot of them.
Devontae Adams or Stephon Diggs, who are you going for?
Devontae Adams.
Yeah, I would agree. So I would move off Adams.
I think Justin Jefferson's the only absolute receiver in the league I'd move off. One, Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae are both great. I mean, Devontae Adams to me is top three in the league. And I'm not even sure I'd move him for...
But he's getting up there.
Getting up there. What is he, 30?
He's 30, 31, man.
He's got another... I got two, three big years.
You're not winning in the next year or two. So once you move off him, get what you can, and then start the rebuild. Like, I don't know, man. I'm more of the... If you're a bad team and you're not going anywhere, just rebuild instead of, like, trying to put a Band-Aid on a gaping wound.
All right.
Next up, Jonathan Gannon enters his second season with the Cardinals. This year, he'll have a healthy Kyler Murray from day one. Gannon believes that Kyler's best days are ahead of him, and Colin Cowherd's going to love this.
Being in the spring, going through spring, it's really going to help his development within our system, with him as a player. We changed his stance, how he took the snap, you know what I mean? So, and he took to it. He understands the why behind it, and he likes it now, but, you know, he's going to bank all those reps in spring. So, that's why I say his best football is ahead of him, which is interesting to say because he's played at such a high level. But I really think that he's going to keep doing that.
Go ahead. This is your opportunity.
What?
Speak glowingly about how Kyler Murray he throws a great deep ball. That's your line.
He throws the prettiest ball in the league. Prettiest ball in the league.
Whatever that's worth. Here's their receiving room. Michael Wilson, who Hushmanzada works with and speaks very highly of. Greg Dortch, Chris Moore, Zach Pascal. This might be the
and
weakest.
And Marvin Harrison.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you go get another one in the fifth round. Don't they have a bunch of picks?
But their left tackle, Paris Johnson, had a really good year.
Yeah.
Gannon outperformed expectations.
Yeah, they have the quarterback, good. They have the left tackle, they have the running back, and they have a tight end I like. Go get Marvin Harrison. And I think I think Arizona's going to be one of my...
What? You can bet they're over? Go ahead.
What's the over-under? 6.5?
Yeah.
I'll take the over.
So you start them 0-4. They're not beating the Niners. They're not beating the Rams. So start them 0-4.
You're going to upset the Niners week one.
Cowherd, come on. Dude, seriously.
I think Arizona's going to be a tough out.
Yeah, tough out. Tough to get out of the cellar, you mean?
You'd be the jerk.
Final story. Okay. I love this story. The Houston Rockets, Colin, they're on a heater. 10 straight. Now listen, last night against OKC, they're down 5 with like 2 minutes left. Jalen Green and company take over. They win it in overtime. Listen, man, I know we don't talk about the Houston Rockets much on this show, but Jalen Green is just doing ungodly things lately. 37, 10, and 7 last night. He is having just a spectacular month. I told you to buy stock in this team when they hired that coach who was run off in Boston for the affair or whatever he had. There's a lot of talent on this team. Fred VanVleet was a really smart move, and they are breathing down the necks.
Well, they're also, let's be honest, there is an advantage to being a young team. So they start this winning streak. And you, first of all, the bottom of the NBA is not very talented. So you beat some bad teams because you have more talent. They're also young, so they play hard every night. Young teams play hard every night. They don't always play great every night. They play hard. And then also, a lot of times when they play a good team, you know, you kind of look at the Rockets and you rest a starter or two. That is not to say it's not a captivating group of players, because we all thought they would start hitting kind of next year.
Yeah.
And they've gotten hot. But in the NBA, you got to be careful about winning streaks. Who have they beaten? Because the bottom third of this league is bad.
Well, SGA didn't play last night.
The good teams are going to rest starters against Houston. So you can start picking. And I think it's great for their team and their city. But you got to be careful about winning streaks in the NBA. You have like two great teams, Boston and Denver. 8 teams I like most in the West. Then there's a lot of nonsense.
Well, it's weird. The Rockets have the kid Şengün, the center from Turkey, who when he went down, they were like, oh, everybody thought they were done. They've played better since he's been out. Listen, they're probably too young to do anything, but in a play-in setting with this young, bouncy, exciting team, if I'm the Lakers, I fear the Rockets more than I do Steph Curry and the Warriors, honestly.
Oh, come on. In the playoffs? Serious.
Dylan Brooks running his mouth. Dylan Brooks had a pretty solid game last night. I think Rockets are dangerous. You can scoff at them. They have one more head-to-head matchup with the Warriors. And if they win that game...
When is that?
I think it's April 3rd, maybe? I will be out of the country, so I'll try to pick it up your Fubo account. But just beware the Houston Rockets. I got to talk nice about Houston. Remember, I laughed at the Texans and they made the playoffs. I'm a Houston guy.
You've been a lot of cities don't like you. I've had to curry favor with those cities to try to repair the damage you've created.
Chicago, Houston. What are the other ones?
Coast, Seattle. Coast to coast. You make enemies.
The most hated man in sports media. Yes, I love it.
Jay Mack with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Back in L.A. in a second. It's the Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week, we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer and Mental Wealth Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Thank you to our friends at Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the 2024 Colin Cowherd draft coverage. Panini America delivers a premier collecting experience with the most sought-after NFL, NBA, FIFA, and WNBA trading cards. Whether you're chasing rookie sensations or collecting timeless legends, Panini's got it. Panini America is also breaking new ground in NIL, featuring some of the biggest names in college sports, like all-time NCAA scoring leader Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and many of the upcoming NFL and NBA first-round picks. If you're into cutting-edge digital collectibles, don't miss Panini's NFT platform at nft.paniniamerica.net with some of the first opportunities to collect this year's rookie class. Whether you're a collector of physical cards or a digital enthusiast, Panini has you covered. Check out the most popular trading card brands like Prism, Select, Donruss, and more. For those NFL draft fans, get real-time trading cards after players are picked with Panini Instant Cards, celebrating the biggest sports moments on cards right after they happen. Visit PaniniAmerica.net or download the Panini Direct app today. Panini America, the official trading cards and NFTs of the Colin Cowherd draft coverage. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
All right, J-Mac. Baseball opening day. Cross your fingers on Ohtani. I just hope that thing goes away.
Can you give me your World Series picks real quick?
Braves against the Astros.
Who's winning?
Braves.
Okay. I'll go Yankees over the Dodgers.
Oh, come on.
In the series that everybody wants to see. That would be
Dodgers
epic.
Pitching worries me a little bit. Plus this whole thing with Ohtani.
I think we're past it. He's going to be fine, right?
Well, I mean, I think you and I are past it.
Well, we're realists.
Well, I think you and I don't view gambling. As long as he didn't bet on baseball, you and I aren't going to get all worked up over it.
There's zero evidence he did that.
That's right. There's zero evidence.
Okay. Until I'm presented with some, I'm sorry. That's going to be my take.
And by the way, people pushing back on this, I guarantee you Ohtani has business accounts, not a personal checking account. And this is not like your bank statement or my bank statement. He has got multiple either S-corps, LLCs. He's not looking at his bank account. This is not like even a wealthy American who makes $500,000 a year, somebody that has a great life. It's well beyond. Ohtani is a corporation. He's making $10 million a year on endorsements overseas. Yes. That's just, forget the $500 million he's making from the Dodgers. He's not looking at his checking account. He's probably has eight different checking accounts, a business one. He's not looking at any of them.
The only cause for concern, mildly, is the whole Tiger Woods thing that unraveled on him. Tiger Woods gave the projection that I'm a loving husband and father and all this stuff. And meanwhile, he's like juggling all these women coast to coast and like it got really bad for him. I can't imagine that Ohtani's embroiled in something really ugly. I hope not.
Yeah, same here. You know, it's an election year.
Oh.
Decision 2024. So we thought today we'd do division decision 2024 rank after all the free agency with the draft coming up. Rank the divisions, coaching hires done, free agency done, rank the divisions in terms of strength. Are you ready to go?
Sure.
So I would say number one is AFC North. With Russell Wilson coming in, the quarterbacks are Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Russell Wilson, and Deshaun Watson. It had the highest winning percentage by any division last season. Three of the four teams made the playoffs, and that was without Joe Burrow playing down the stretch. So I think that's become the best division in football. Number two to me, and I'm really love this division, three offensive coaches, NFC North. Lions, Packers, Vikings, and I don't know if Eberflus lasts, I don't know, but Chicago's got a really interesting roster now. Young, ascending teams. I would say the best young offensive talent in football is in this division. Jordan Love, over the last 8 to 10 weeks, was one of the best quarterbacks in football. Go ask the Cowboys defense and Dan Quinn about Jordan Love at the end of the season. Number three, I still like the NFC West. I think Shanahan and McVay are two of the best coaches, and then you have two very sharp defensive coaches. Now, the Seahawks are still searching for a franchise quarterback, but Geno Smith has been more than capable. He made Pro Bowls. So, I think, Kyler Murray, Matt Stafford, and regardless of how much of a game manager he is, Brock Purdy can certainly move the chains. So I would think of the eight, that's the third best division. I think the AFC East, listen, Josh Allen in Buffalo is a really good football team. Two is in a contract year. So even though I think their defense will step back, if they hit on some draft picks, Miami's going to score if they've got Tua, Jalen Waddle, Tyreek Hill, and Mike McDaniel. And Aaron Rodgers comes back with an improved offensive line, and I think they go out and grab a really good receiver with their first pick. So New York, if Aaron can be upright, will be a viable 8-9 win team. I would go to the AFC South. I don't think the AFC South will have a great team, and I think most divisions have a really, really high-end team. But I do think Houston's young. I think Trevor Lawrence coming back off injury. Anthony Richardson, I am so geeked to watch play with Shane Steichen. And I don't know about Will Levis, but they're going to go get a tackle to protect him. I think it's one of the more interesting divisions because I have three super young quarterbacks and Trevor Lawrence, who I think has to take a leap this year. So I think the AFC South, I don't think you have a bad team in the division. Tennessee, if Will Levis can move the chains a little, maybe. But I think the Colts, the Jags, and the Texans will be fun to watch. I think the AFC West is lower than people would think because the Raiders and the Broncos don't have quarterbacks. So I think it's real top-heavy, and at the bottom, I don't know what's happening. Chargers, I think, are going to have immediate success. They're going to have to hit on some draft picks. I suspect with Harbaugh right out of college, they will. I actually am very fascinated to see what both Denver and the Raiders do with their quarterback situation. Number seven, a very popular division at Fox, is the NFC East. I think, once again, the Eagles have to go with two new coordinators. Dallas, I feel, is perilously thin, very, very top-heavy. I don't think they'll be as good this year. The Giants are a bit of a mess. Commanders have a defensive coach and a rookie quarterback coming in. I think Commanders will be tasty and interesting, but certainly not good. And I think eighth, and this happens, it feels like, about every other year, is the NFC South. Maybe it's because the SEC is so popular, the lack of passion. It's just not a great division. I do think Kirk Cousins to Atlanta, you go win some games there. Baker Mayfield, J-Mac thinks he could regress a little. I think he is what he is. Carolina's a mess. Dennis Allen, week one on the hot seat there. So Derek Carr, been a bit disappointing. Dennis Allen, very disappointing. And there you go. That's my division decision 2024.
You know, I like how you went on a limb here with the AFC North at the top. I think every team finished above 500 last year. So,
and Steelers will be better.
Gutsy call by you there.
Do you want me to be right or just interesting?
I don't know. What do you want? I want interesting.
Earlier I had Joel Klatt on. So Joel Klatt, for the last 2-3 years, he does Michigan every other week. And I said, what do you make of J.J. McCarthy flying up the draft boards?
Just to give you some level of backing on, I saw him a lot. I saw him 16 times the last 3 seasons. You know, when you watch first and second down, you get lulled into the Michigan way and the Michigan philosophy and their schematics, Colin. And they're going to run the football and they're going to do what Michigan does. And then on third down, a lot of it was like, okay, JJ, now it's in your court. And the reason that they went 15-0 and the reason that they won the national championship was that they had a player that could go above the X's and O's in the moments that they needed him to, namely on third down and third and long. And when you watch those cut-ups, you can immediately see and feel why these GMs and decision makers in the NFL are falling in love with J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, I mean, Klatt saw a lot of them. So there is a huge difference between watching an NBA game on TV and watching it live and watching a game on TV, and Joel's up there, he can see the secondary. It's just, I thought Nick Wright had an interesting point. He said, I watched a lot of Michigan football the last couple of years, and I thought they had a great coach, a great run game, a great defense, a great O-line. I never thought, wow, they also have a first-round quarterback. Is that J.J. McCarthy, when I watched, if you gave me the reasons they're winning games, I mean, the reason they beat Ohio State the last 2-3 years, physicality up front, better O-lines, more physical, run game, and Harbaugh's brilliant. I never thought it was J.J. McCarthy. So, but the question, because Mark Dominic talked about this, and Mark said he did. I think on quarterback, if you don't have one and you got to get one, I'm not asking you to take a second-round guy in the first, but if my guys have him at 18th and I got the eighth pick, I'm going to go with it. If he comes across as a first round, like Bo Nix, a lot of people say top of the second. Well, Denver needs a quarterback. And if they move back a couple of times and go to 16, they need a quarterback. They got to get one. So I think quarterback's a position. The other position is, to me, like left tackle. If you can find a left tackle and you have him at 24th on your board and you're 12th, and he's the only one that grades out as a first round, I'll make up stuff on the other end of the draft, but there are certain positions in this league, quarterback, left tackle, and edge rusher. I think sometimes you have to reach a little.
So, you know, I've been bullish on McCarthy for a while. Do you remember the Alabama playoff game? I was hyping the heck out of him. I bet his props. I think his first pass, remember on the sideline, was intercepted, but the guy's like toe was out of bounds or whatever. And I was instantly like, oh my gosh, I whiffed on McCarthy. And to watch him rebound from that early awful pick, and fourth quarter drive was clutch, overtime was clutch. McCarthy, I know Nick said he never thought he had a first-round quarterback watching Michigan, but the tools and the traits matter more than what he's doing on the field sometimes in college. And we've seen that bear out.
No, we have. A little bit of fake weight at the combine, but...
What, water weight?
Whatever weight. We will see you tomorrow, live in L.A. It's The Herd.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Dakovis is your stop before attending your next concert. All Dakovis boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Dakovis has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. I love it. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. Stores are great, but it's TECOVAS.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.